Amen.
Amen.
All right, our reading will be taken from Colossians chapter number 1, starting at verse number 21. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "And you, who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel." Amen.
Amen.
Now I want you to turn to your neighbor. You ain't got to grab no neighbor by the hand, but just turn to them. Let them know they got your attention. Look at them good now. Get their attention. Look at them so they know you're looking at them. And say, neighbor,
neighbor,
I'm excited
about who
I am.
Neighbor,
I'm excited
about who
I am. Amen. You may be seated. For all our youngsters, y'all can head on to the back. We do have our youth in the back. Y'all can go ahead. I forgot to tell you that earlier. All our young folk, y'all can go ahead and head on to the back. We have entitled our message this morning, I'm excited about who I am. I know we have some fans in here of football and basketball. And I know as fans of football and basketball, whenever you have the opportunity to go to the game, I want you to know, Brother Red, you'll put on your team's favorite jersey. And you'll go there and you'll be all excited and you'll be making noise. And then some said, I ain't got to go there to have excitement. Gabriel, folks said, just as long as I'm in front of the TV, I have all my team's colors and I'm shouting at the TV because I'm excited. And Lord, don't let it be one of the concerts of one of your favorite musicians. We ain't talking about gospel.
Yeah. All right.
You just can't wait to get there. And oh, and Sister Davis, when they sing your favorite song, because folk are so
excited.
But I got a question about you. Are you excited about who you are?
Sometimes.
You see, what we have to see and understand as we look at this scripture, because this is Paul writing to the church in Colossae. Colossae is not a place or a church that Paul established. It was delegated for somebody else to go there, and Paul knew about the person and talked with them, and the person was excited about what happened with the Colossians and how they embraced the gospel and how they truly have established that church, and folk are growing in the ministry. They're growing spiritually. They're growing numerically, and God is blessing them. And I want you to know that anytime God is blessing something, I want you to know the enemy is going to try to mess it up. And what was happening was that while they were there, there were some folk who were telling them, it don't take all that. It's all that ain't necessary. That what they told you ain't right. Oh, don't you know that person that came and talked to y'all? He is associated with Paul. And you know Paul, he ain't right because Paul was once a Jew and now he's a Christian. And you know he really ain't what he is and so on and so forth. Folk will always try to pull out negativity whenever God is blessing. And what Paul wanted to Colossians to know and understand is you have to remember who you are, and you have to be excited about who I am. But before I understand and excited about who I am, I got to remind you about where you came from.
All right.
And this is where we find ourselves in this scripture, is that Paul is now bringing things to their attention. Because when you look at verse number 21, it says, "And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, did evil deeds." Do you see this? So Paul said, this is who you were before Jesus.
Okay.
And before who you were estranged.
Yeah.
You were hostile in mind.
Yeah.
And you did evil deeds. And that says what he is saying is sin had you running rapid, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. You were lost and you didn't even know it.
All right.
You were lost in the sin that you were committing. And you thought that what you were doing was okay. You were living your life according to how sin was guiding you. It's like a leaf being blown by the wind, going in whatever direction the wind takes. That's what sin does. Blows us all around. And has us do stuff that we know is not God glorifying. But it's just the opposite. It's evil deeds. So what Paul is pointing out to them is that, listen, I need for you to see what you used to be. Now, this is not who you were, but this is what you used to be. And I want you to understand, my brothers and my sisters, we can't just run from what we used to be. Because what we used to be is what made us what we are right now. You see, you can't forget what the Lord has brought you through. We ought not to come to church and think that we are holier than thou and treat other folk like they are nothing. We have to understand that, yes, I ain't all that. I've made some mistakes. I've stumbled. I still stumble. I still make mistakes. But I know right now that I'm not what I used to be. But here we're seeing Paul is breaking this down, getting them to understand. And what he wants them to understand is that this is what your current condition was. This is what the condition of who you were like prior to Jesus being brought to your attention. And then what he says is this. And then he goes on in verse number 22 and says, he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death. You know, it's interesting. Now, maybe it's just me. You know how some folk when you go places, you see people got a cup out or want some money. Sometimes you reach in your pocket, see if you got a few coins, drop them in. All right. Other times, you might go in your wallet, pull out a dollar and give them one. Sometimes you just look at them and say, you know what? I ain't giving them nothing. That person, like, look, what they got on, they look better than what I look. And then other folk, you just feel that they just don't deserve nothing because of the fact that you look at them with the eye test. You see, if they don't pass your eye test, you don't give them a chance or you don't do nothing for them. You see, whether we know it or not, that I want you to know, when it comes to the Lord, none of us pass the eye test. When the Lord looked at us, he saw us as, well, we was toe up from the flow up. Because if it was based on the eye test, none of us would have got in. Did anybody know what I'm talking about? You see, so many of us, all of us have failed the eye test. Because if it was all about the eye test, couldn't nobody be in God's house right now praising him? Because all of us failed the eye test. And I'm not talking about your 2020 vision. I'm talking about how you look to God. You see, because when you understand what Paul is breaking down to them, he said that you were a strain, you were hostile in mind, you were doing evil deeds, but don't you know the Lord came to restore you? And I want you to know, when the Lord came to restore you, he ain't do like we did. We're reaching our pocket and fill out a couple of coins and give somebody something. You see, when we do that, we're giving out of our abundance. But I want you to understand that in order for the Lord to restore us, he ain't going in his pocket just to pull out a few coins. He restored us by giving his all. He gave his all for you and I, my brothers and sisters. He ain't going just trying to scramble around to find a few coins. He gave his all so that you and I could be restored. Do you understand how good our God has been to us? Because I want you to realize, when he came for us, some folk might have saw us and thought we wasn't worth 2 cents. All right. Yeah. Why? Because we ain't passed their eye test. Some folk will look you up and down and think they know you. Some folk will look you up and down and figure you all out because you didn't pass there. You know, and I want you to know, I get excited even more. That just right there shows me even more the awesomeness of the God that we serve, because of the fact that the Lord saw us not at our very best, but he saw us at our very worst, which means that we all failed his eye test because all have fallen short of the glory of God. Don't you know our best righteousness is still filthy rags in the presence of God, which is letting me know that none of us have passed the eye test. But I thank God that he didn't use the eye test. He looked past all that and he looked at our hearts. When he looked inside of us, he saw something inside of us that we didn't see in us. Look at your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, you passed. You see, because when God looked inside of you, he saw some good in your heart. A good you thought didn't exist. A good that is inside of you. Why? Because God is the one that breathed the breath of life in us. So the essence of who God is, that means that there's still some good in all of us. So I'm thankful. God didn't base it off of the eye test. Because none of us would have passed. And what we're seeing here is this. Is that Jesus came, and we see it in verse 22, that Jesus came to restore us. And in order to restore us, y'all, it tells us in his fleshly body through death. That's letting us know that Jesus gave his all. And as he gave his all, he gave his all to death. You know, you ever heard the scenario of the breakfast scenario where the pig and the chicken was talking about breakfast? You know, the chicken was saying, you know, with me and breakfast couldn't exist if I didn't give up the eggs. It's because I give up them eggs that they can have breakfast. The pig said, you better shut your mouth. Because you can go on and lay all the eggs you want and you can still be alive. You see, but when I get involved with breakfast, I got to give my all because they got to kill me in order to get the bacon. So chicken, you better just shut your mouth. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? He didn't just come to give some. Jesus came to give his
all.
Oh, you see, my brothers and my sisters, he gave his all to do what? To restore us. Why? Because we were estranged, we were hostile in mind, and we were doing evil deeds. Sin was having its way with us, and Jesus still came for us, even though we failed the what? Eye test. He came to what? Restore us.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
And how did he do it? By giving his all to death. And once we see that, y'all, it says that so that, and because you look at the rest of that verse, it says, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him. Check this out. Let me break it down to you like this. You know, Brother Leo, you know those 15 acres you got? There's a creek that's running between 7 of your acres. And that creek is about 25 feet wide. So that means that if you don't have something to get you to the other side, you have 7 acres, you just can't do nothing with. But it's all because... Now, don't y'all go asking Leo if he really got 15 acres. I'm just using the example. But you realize that you got to be able to get to your other parcel of land. So in order to get to that other parcel of land, you have to build a bridge to get you over. Because the creek is too deep and it's too much water. And it's go down too far. So in order for you to get from one side to the other, you got to build the what? Bridge. Don't you know that's what the Lord did for us? Because of what Adam and Eve did back there in the Garden of Eden, they automatically caused God to build a great divide, which means that we became separated from God. And the only way that we now could get back to God was that Jesus had to be our bridge over the... Oh, somebody gonna work with me. And don't you understand? Because Jesus is our bridge over the troubled waters. He came so that we now can be reunited with the Father through the Son, making a way out of no way. Are you getting this? I want you to see. We were estranged, hostile in mind. We were about evil deeds. Sin was tearing us up. We were lost and we didn't even know it. And Jesus came to restore us. And he gave his all to the point of death so that he could be the bridge over the troubled waters. And what we're seeing here in the verse 22, Jesus did this by being the bridge. And by him being the bridge, We now have been presented to the Father, holy, blameless, and irreproachable. Which means that when the Father sees us, he doesn't see us through what we used to be. He sees us through us accepting Jesus. And through accepting Jesus, we now been covered in the blood of the Lamb. So when the Father sees us, we pass the eye test, because we have not just changed on the outside, but we're also changed on the
inside.
And so when the Father sees us, he sees us as being what? Holy. He sees us as being what? Blameless. And he sees us as being irreproachable, which means that we have been sanctified, set apart. The sins that we did are no longer held against us. We have now been freed from blame. So that's how come we can come into the presence of the Father. So that, when I think about that, my brothers and my sisters, the question or the statement of our sermon is, I'm excited about
who I am.
This sermon is just to remind us of who we are. And when we see what has happened thus far, we have a whole lot to shout about. But the one thing that we can't forget is this. Is that it's not enough just to get to the other side. I want you to understand, Sister Fee, now that you've crossed the bridge across the troubled waters, now that you are in the presence of the Father through the Son, now that you're there praising him, there's somebody who doesn't like what you're doing. So what they want you to do is go back over the bridge. And if you go back over the bridge, that means the enemy got you.
That's
you see, but Deacon Jones, what I want you to know is that what we have to do is right here in verse 23. Provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the what? Without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. Now, faith got us over. Faith is the only thing that's going to keep us there. And faith is the one thing that's going to keep us right where we are, moving forward with the Lord. But I want you to understand something. But the faith that we get and the faith that we have continues to grow. You know how the faith grows? Because of the gospel. Because of the word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Isn't that why we come every Sunday? Isn't that why we come to Bible study? Isn't that why we come to Sunday school? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And if you want to see how God's going to bless you, you want to see what God can do with you, my brothers and my sisters, you got to keep hearing from the word of God. Because the word of God is what's going to see you through. The word of God is what's going to keep you steadfast. The word of God is what's going to allow you not to shift left or right. It's the word of God that allows you to say, I don't care how the storms might come, I'm going to say hallelujah anyhow. I ain't going nowhere. I am planted upon the rock. I know how I got to where I am. It's not because of me. It's all about Jesus. And I've trusted Jesus this far. I'm going to trust him all the way. Do I got any witnesses in God's house that understand I am where I am because I got faith in Jesus? I am where I am because I've listened to his word. I am where I am because the Lord is the only one that's keeping me. Even when I thought I couldn't be kept, I tell you, my brothers and my sisters, we serve a mighty good God who has showed us grace and mercy. I'm excited about who I am. When we look at this and as we move in this, we got to understand something. Well, Pastor, yeah, I get that. I get that I was a sinner. I get that I was lost and didn't know it. I get that the Lord has restored me. I get that he gave his all for me. I get that he presented me holy, blameless, and irreproachable. I get all that. I understand that I'm supposed to be steadfast. I understand that I need to be unmovable. I understand that I have to continue to move forward in the hope of the gospel that I've been blessed with. I get all that. But why aren't you excited then? Mm-hmm. How is it you can go to a game and you're the loudest person out there? How is it you can go to a concert? I ain't telling you you can't go to no secular concert. We all have artists we like. But you're the loudest one out there. And Lord, when you get to church, good morning, how are you? Hallelujah, God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
They don't know.
Gotta make you clap. Gotta pump you and prime you to get you to praise Him. Gotta keep telling you God is good. Can somebody say amen and you'll say amen? But when it comes to you just doing it because it needs to be done, how many folk are just going on and being excited because you know where the Lord has brought you from? You know what the Lord has done for you. I ain't gonna wait for somebody to tell me how good my God is, because my God is good. I'm gonna praise Him. I'm gonna thank Him. I'm excited about my relationship. I'm excited for what He's done for me. I'm excited for how He turned me around. I'm excited for how He got me off that hospital bed. I'm excited for how I'm in my right mind right now. Do I got any folk in God's house that are excited about who I am? Do I got anybody who don't want to give Him some praise? Thank Him. Because you understand, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I? If you can't even sit down, I got another place to take you. You know?
Where would I be?
Hallelujah.
There.
Praise the Lord.
Reverend Rhodes.
Yes, sir.
It's something we have to be concerned with in the church.
All right.
Some folk in our churches aren't excited no more.
All right.
Why or how could we lose our excitement? Because if we're not excited about the God we serve, then don't expect God to be excited about you.
Amen. That's right.
I want you to understand this today. And I'm going to give you this analogy, and it's going to help you. When I was in my early 20s, I bought my first one-family home. I grew up in the city. I had a little piece of grass, wasn't much. You could probably cut it in like 10 minutes. I'm being honest with you, about 10 minutes. But I didn't know nothing about grass. I never cut grass. Didn't know how to grow grass. I think you put water on it, throw the seeds down, it grow. And then I had a gentleman who came through, was a brother, came through and explained to me how he could help me with my grass, because it was looking more like a dirt pile than grass. Sister Barbara Ann. And he came in and he explained to me, and it wasn't going to cost me a whole lot of money. I'm like, yeah, I want my grass to look good, right? But also I had a rose bush. And, you know, and that summer, the first summer, the rose bush had gotten real beautiful and roses were all over it. That made me feel real good about it, right? So when I had paid the brother to take care of the lawn, he came in the fall, right? I want you to know, Sean, the brother cut my rose bush down till it would almost look like a stump. Right? Roscoe laughing at me. Mo, you too. I'm looking at all folk laughing at me. Lieutenant, you laughing at me too. Again, I grew up in the city. All I ever knew was concrete. And I said to him, yo, man, I done paid you this money. Why you done cut down my rose bush? I'm like, hey, how you gonna grow back? You done cut it all the way down. He looked at me and smiled. Because this was in the fall now. This was in the fall. He looked at me and smiled. He said, you know what, man? Let me explain something to you. If that rose bush doesn't grow back by the end of May, early June, I'll dig it up and I'll plant you a new one. All right? Because you know I done paid you that money. You know, I want my rose bush. I don't see no rose bush. All right? Yeah, I was mad, Reverend Rose. I'm mad. All I was ignorant, but ignorant means you just don't know. I was ignorant. He smiled. I can just imagine what that dude did when he got in his van and went and told folk, They probably got a good laugh off of me. So up north, it doesn't really start to get slightly warm until April. Well, now with things changing, who knows? So in April it started, that's when the frost starts to melt and stuff starts to grow. And you know, I'm looking at my world's bush. All of a sudden, I'm starting to see little stems coming out. But I'm watching my rose bush. Paid all that money for that rose bush. Paid him to do all that new food or cut my rose bush down. So it started growing. By the end of May, it was bigger than what it was before. So my man came around, because you know he came around periodically to check on me and give me pointers and stuff. And he came through early June. I can see it like it's yesterday. He pulled up in his white pickup truck. And I was outside cutting the grass. Like I said, it took me about 10 minutes. He pulled up. He didn't get out of his truck. Just rolled his window down. Hey, Cal, how's it going? It's going good, man. I got to apologize. I was wrong about the bush. He smiled at me and laughed. And he said, I was going to explain it to you then, but you wasn't going to hear it. He said, I could show you better than I could tell you. He said, now I'm going to tell you now that you see it. He said, in order for a rose bush to grow, once the fall hits, those limbs that are out there that have roses on them, they now dead. So I had to cut off all the dead limbs so that the new limbs could come back. And now you're seeing how the rose bush is doing. Now, Pastor, what do you mean in reference to us today? You know what? If you ain't excited about God, then how you gonna grow? You see, and when you are excited in your relationship about the Lord, that means that you want to grow some more. And if you are excited about how he's blessing you, that's saying you want to grow some more. When you're going through the storms of your life, don't you know God uses those storms to prune off all the bad stuff off of you? Because whatever is on you that's dead got to come off you. That's why God's got to prune you through the storm. And when you know how good God is, no matter how what season you are in, I'm going to praise God. I'm excited about my relationship. You know why? Because I'm still growing. Do I got any folk in here that still want to grow? Do I got some folk in here who realize that I got to grow in the Lord? And the only way I'm going to grow is I got to be excited about my relationship with Jesus. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who want to grow in Jesus, move in Jesus? I want you to know, it don't matter how old you are, if you are excited about Jesus, I don't care how long you've been a Christian, you ought to be excited about Jesus. Why? Because he blessed you to still be here. Woo! Are you understanding what I'm saying, y'all? You got to be excited about Jesus. You want to grow, you got to be excited about it. There are so many folk who are in church who ain't growing because something happened and your excitement ain't there. It could have been you've been through a divorce. Your children have went left and right. You've had some family members called home. And when those things happen, you know what it's called, y'all? Life. Because while we're living is life, things are going to happen. Amen. And when those things happen, the enemy, Sister Rhodes, wants to just snatch that life out of you. But what you got to be willing to do is snatch that life back into you. Amen. Because we all, listen to me, if you live long enough, y'all, hold up, I don't need you to clap because somebody needs to hear this. If you live long enough, you're going to experience separation from folk whom you love. Yes. And when God calls them home, if you ain't careful, it will suck the life out of you.
It will. Amen.
And if it sucks that life out of you, then it also sucks out that excitement and that joy. But you're still alive. Amen. What am I saying to you? It's going to be hard. I done been there. And if I keep living, I'm going to have to go there again. Yeah. Are you hearing what I'm saying, y'all?
Yes.
And what we have to do is when loved ones are called home, we're going to hurt. It's going to be a void. When we go through the trials and tribulations of our lives, sometimes we're embarrassed about what we had to go through, or we're embarrassed about what our kids do, or we're embarrassed that we're no longer with that person who they've seen us in church with for many years. Whatever it is, it just causes us to feel separated and that I can't be excited no more. And that's the enemy, Jay, trying to suck the life out of you. Because if I get the life out of you, I got your excitement.
Amen.
I got your joy. And I don't have to be concerned about you growing anymore.
All right.
Look at your neighbor. Find a neighbor. Look at him, because I need you to tell somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, get your life back. Are you hearing me? Now, if you ain't never have to get it back, you ought to just tell them, I ain't never give it up. It's going to be hard. This life sometimes going to be hard, y'all. We're going to go through some stuff. But we got to realize that we have help to get us through. And his name is
Jesus.
And he didn't bring us this far just to drop us off. And the Lord wants to know, can you still be excited about me? When others look at you and expect you to drop your head and want to give up. I know you're still going through chemo treatment, Carolyn, but guess what? You still got to be excited. I know others in here are dealing with situations and circumstances, but you still got to be
excited.
Because you understand the one who has given you life, his name is
Jesus.
He is our all in all. So when you wake up in the morning, you got something to be excited about. Because God has blessed you to see another day. He's got you here because you are a resource that he's going to use to glorify him in the midst of all that you're going through. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? I know it ain't easy. I know it gets hard. But get your life back. Get it back. You gotta be excited. Because he loves you. He loves you.
Thank you, Lord.
You know what we're gonna do right now? I want you to go wherever you are, close to you. I want you to partner with somebody. Come on, partner with him, and you're going to pray with him. Come on, everybody stand up. It ain't going to bite you. Partner with somebody. I didn't plan to do this. Just one person. Everybody find one person. Partner with that person. And what you're going to do is you're going to pray with them. You're going to pray with them that God will continue to empower them. And let them know that they have that life and they won't let it go. We want folk to be bound with one another in agreement. If you felt your life sucking away, you're praying with them that, Lord, let them see that their lives are important. Let them see that they are important. I'm going to get quiet and you go on and just pray with that person. Just go on and pray with them. 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 Lord, we just thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for the excitement of who we are. Lord, we will not allow life to be taken from us. Touch hearts, change lives. Meet folk where they are. Bless them, keep them, guide them, and direct them. Lord, allow them to be open with one another, Lord. Allow this to be a private conversation. That, Lord, that even when it ends, they will continue to pray for one another. Because, Lord, we need each other. We need to move forward together. Lord, you're blessing Broad Rock. You're using this church. You're preparing us for the things you're getting ready to do that are going to be so awesome in this place. So, Lord, we're thanking you. So that's why we're having them praying with one another. Lord, we glorify you. We magnify you. We thank you because it's not possible without you, Lord. We need to be excited because we need to keep growing. We need to keep moving forward. I know it's going to be a chore sometimes. I know it's going to be hard sometimes. But Lord, help us, bless us, keep us, guide us, and direct us so that we will continue to be the people you're calling us to be. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are, what you do, how you do. Move, Lord. Move, Lord. Move, Lord. Move.